David Clayton met an old colleague this month, Elizabeth Rizzini, the BBC weather presenter. When she was a schoolgirl, she endured the great storm of 1987, and she never thought then that one day she would be delivering weather forecasts herself and be a familiar face on our TV screens. Here is David Clayton to tell us about his chat with Elizabeth Rizzini.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Man, it does. The great storm of 1987 will live long in our memories. Weather forecaster Michael Fish's dismissal of it being anything serious has haunted him too. We can probably all remember where we were and what happened to us. The aftermath made an impact on a young Croydon schoolgirl. Trees came thumping down. I remember climbing over them on my way to school, and it was so still the morning after. There was no hint back then that the young Elizabeth Rizzini would eventually pop up on our TV screens and radios delivering those all-important weather bulletins herself. I suppose I liked science at school and eventually studied physics and maths at the Open University, but I initially went off to university to study modern languages, she tells me. Lizzie and I know each other because during my time on the radio, I'd link up with her to deliver forecasts to our part of the world from the BBC Weather Centre in London. And I'll let you into a secret. We'd often have a bit of a gossip down the line before and after she'd done her forecast, but you never heard that bit. Just as well sometimes. It was good to catch up with her for a longer chat. After university, she went to live in Spain for a few years and found herself broadcasting on a bilingual radio station in Marbella. I did the weather and jellyfish forecasts in Spanish and English, she recalls. Lizzie took to radio and enjoyed it, having always been an avid listener to BBC Radio 4 and news generally. She came back to the UK and did a master's degree in climate journalism, then applied for a job and professional training with the Met Office. I didn't get it, but I kept trying. Eventually they took me on. Lizzie joined the Weather Centre at the BBC and was soon doing radio bulletins for local stations. I was also writing weather stories and was for a while in charge of the CFAX weather pages. She laughs as she tells me, I once pressed a button and obliterated the Isle of Wight. Following a stint at the Met Office and the tempting offer of a job in Lossiemouth, she took her chances as a freelancer with the BBC. An opportunity appeared in Bristol, but she was living in London. The shift started at 5 a.m, so I get up at 1:30 a.m. and drive down the M4, a road I got to know well. She was not only coping with the long commute, but she also had a small child, her daughter Lucia. The shift would finish at 2 p.m. and I'd drive back to London to get her from nursery at 6 p.m. I'd go to bed and get up again in the middle of the night to do it all over again. Things got better a couple of years later when she landed a job in London working out of Broadcasting House and the BBC's TV centre in West London. A typical day would involve a morning conference meeting to decide on the day's forecast. The rest of the shift was linking up to various radio stations with a nowcast and a forecast every 5 minutes or so. The busiest time is always around breakfast, she tells me. Because of the pandemic, Lizzie has been working from home, delivering a forecast for radio and TV from a makeshift studio in her bedroom at her London home. It can be tricky, she explains. My youngest daughter Nicole has ended up chatting to Nicky Campbell on BBC Five Live. My kittens were heard scratching at the bedroom door trying to get in, and my guinea pigs have appeared on BBC Radio Suffolk. Of course, the vast majority of forecasts go off without a hitch, but Lizzie also confesses to once doing a TV forecast with her dress accidentally tucked in her tights. Fortunately, that faux pas wasn't picked up by the camera. I never thought I'd end up doing this, she explains, as I ask about how she'd perhaps planned her career. You can't base yourself on anyone. I just learned from others in the Weather Centre, particularly Carol Kirkwood, who was really helpful. After an inspiring documentary on BBC Two about the BBC's security correspondent Frank Gardner, who you may remember was shot in the back while reporting in Saudi Arabia in 2004, we all discovered that Lizzie was now his girlfriend. We met in a lift at New Broadcasting House, she tells me. Friendly chats in BBC lifts and canteens eventually turned into a more meaningful relationship. They are frequent visitors to Suffolk, where Frank enjoys birdwatching at Minsmere, and they have friends in Southwold. Frank takes some stunning photos which you can buy as a calendar or notelets. Some of the profits go to a spinal injury charity. Lizzie also has another strong bond with Suffolk. Given the importance of forecasting severe weather, especially for motorists, the listeners to Mark Murphy's breakfast programme on BBC Radio Suffolk voted to name a council gritter after her. So when the temperatures drop, the Lizzie Gritsini heads out onto Suffolk's freezing roads to do its necessary business. Lizzie laughs. I'm the envy of my weather colleagues and very proud.
Thank you, David. I always knew they named railway engines after people, but I never thought of looking to see if gritter trucks have also got names on them.